You've been cut off or refused welfare.
Used car salesmen and golf pros who run Ontario have decided your disability is no longer disabling.
Perhaps you're being forced
factors.
To work 140 hours a month to get your $500 welfare.
You or your entire neighborhood have been brutalized by
you're
the
being
police.
Removed from Canada and sent to a country where you'll be killed or thrown
you're
in jail.
You're being ticketed often for not having a fixed address.
The shelter you stay in has no interest at all in human
you're
rights.
You're facing a government tribunal hearing without
the owner of the building
wants you out so it can take advantage of anti-tenant legislation.
You're being treated unjustly due to your economic position or skin color, and you're sick and tired of the corporate agenda and feel it's time to stand up and fight back. So what are you going to do? So who are you going to call? Well, if you're wise, you'll call OCAP, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. If you want our help, just call. If you want to join, give us a call to set up an introductory meeting, 925-6939 in the east, 530-1550 in the west.
Hello, folks, and welcome to your Friday night special edition of OCAP Radio. My name is Mike, and we are not joined, as of the moment, by our special guest who we were hoping to have on the show. Some of you may have already seen, hopefully have already seen, a film called Squeegee Punks in Traffic. It was made a few years ago. It documents, in fact, documents and was documented by a young man by the name of Roach, who hails from Montreal but spent some time in Toronto, and it basically documents his journeys through, starting from when he's handed a Super 8 camera at Square Barry in Montreal by a filmmaker named Daniel Cross, and it follows him around through quite a few adventures across Ontario and Quebec. And any case, the film is now has been out for several years, but hasn't really gotten much audience, hasn't gotten much distribution. But they are taking it on tour across Canada, and we were hoping to be joined by Daniel Cross and Roach tonight, but they have not shown. But hopefully they will show up very shortly. And when they do, and if they do, we'll be bringing them right on for you tonight. And regardless, either way, we'll let you know how you can check out that movie as it rolls through Toronto starting tonight. But in the absence of our special guests, of course, there is much else to talk about in this province. In fact, we need to talk about the road ahead. What is to be done? Ernie Eves mapped out his version of the road ahead, and it's quite an interesting spectacle for those who thought that the Tories of the past 10 years ruling Ontario had been a right-wing, nearly fascist nightmare. Ho-ho! There is much more in store for you if you are willing to vote Tory once again in an election that we anticipate could be called really at any moment. They could be looking at calling an election next week. The rumors are that there will be an election called next week for late June. If that doesn't happen, it looks like we'll be holding on till the fall or the spring of next year. But I think it seems like there's a good chance that they're going to call it next week. And they're going to call it based on, supposedly, their extreme success in handling the SARS crisis, which is a load of crap. Of course, the Tories did nothing. In fact, the cuts to our healthcare system were largely responsible. But I just want to let you guys know about some of the things that are going on as far as the platform goes, but also as far as before this campaign even gets underway, as far as resistance to this campaign, resistance to the entire idea that the Tories have any legitimacy in trying to sell themselves to the people of this province. So basically, the platform, what we're looking at is a platform that's calling for incredible crackdown on immigrants and refugees. Absolutely unbelievable stuff. What they're looking to do is for anyone who's bringing in a refugee or immigration claim, they're looking to eliminate their access to legal aid, which would make it an absolute nightmare for people to bring claims through the process. They're also talking about eliminating access to OHIP for these people, which would create another absolute nightmare, a health disaster in the province of Ontario, as well as a tremendous personal disaster. Absolutely disgusting stuff. They're calling for additional police to be put on our streets. They're looking for, perhaps most insidiously of all, although the immigration nonsense is tough to top, They're talking about creating what they call care teams, which would essentially be snatch squads empowered to remove people from the streets of Toronto by force if necessary, literally to drive people of Toronto off the streets. Absolutely, absolutely disgusting stuff. And certainly on the note of driving people off the streets, I'm told that Roach has made an appearance in the CKLN studio and will be joining us shortly. And I'm sure there's lots to talk about from his experiences as far as the movie Spit, or Squeegee Punks in Traffic, Spit for short. But maybe we could just talk about a few things going on across the province. There's a lot of interesting stuff to tell you about. One of the groups across Ontario, other than OCAP, that has been fighting real hard around anti-Tory policies is a group out of Kitchener-Waterloo, which originally started as Kitchener-Waterloo OCAP and has since become the Kitchener-Waterloo Youth Collective. They operate a drop-in center in Kitchener called The Spot, and it's basically an autonomous area that they and the users of the facility run, and they get along very well, and they've started doing a cop watch program, which officially runs on Friday nights, but from talking to some of the folks who are doing it, they basically tell me that they're hanging around The Spot every night, and they're bored, so they just go out and do cop watch every night. But apparently, well, basically, I should back up for 1 minute. What's going on this weekend is that, you know, Kitchener-Waterloo Youth Collective, they don't exactly have everything together. They're having their May Day event this Saturday, May 24th, which we know isn't May Day, but, you know, it's a month-long celebration and all. So they're having a conference and demonstration where they're looking to take over a squat this coming Saturday. Now, last May Day, there was quite an outbreak in Kitchener-Waterloo, and many, many people were arrested. Now, coincidentally, just last week, Julian and Davin, who are two key organizers down there at The Spot, were snatched off the streets during their cop watch by the police. And basically, it's out-and-out blatant intimidation in trying to eliminate who the police view to be two key organizers of this weekend's May Day festivities. So basically, Davin and Julian also, it should be noted, were given the chance to get out on bail, but refused their bail conditions because the police and the Crown, I should say, was asking for non-association with each other. And they rejected that, and they came up in court today, I believe, and unfortunately I don't have an update on what happened to Julian and Davin today in court, but hopefully we'll bring that to you next week. And in any case, folks, tomorrow, beginning at noon at The Spot, you can give a call into the studio if you want the address. I'll have to look it up. But if anyone is interested in making the trip down to Kitchener-Waterloo tomorrow, it's going to be hopefully a good event, all-day conference and demo in the evening, and they're looking to take a squat.
And as well, don't forget tomorrow at the U.S. Consulate, there'll be a rally and march to end occupations. And we're talking about three occupations in particular, the occupation of Indigenous lands here in Canada by the Canadian government and its continued genocide and misappropriation of Indigenous people and their lands. As well, the illegal occupations of the lands of Palestine by Israel and the lands of Iraq by the United States of America. So three occupations that we'll be focusing on in this rally, which hopefully will be continuing with further anti-war mobilization, because it looks like the empire is just getting warmed up and up to running speed. So make sure you get out there tomorrow. That's 1 p.m. outside the U.S. consulate at 360 University Avenue. I'm sure you all know the place. We've been there many times.
Yeah. I think we're going to go to a break so we can bring in Roach and get to some shameless plugs here, to some shameless plugs of his movie. So we'll be right back after a short break, and thanks. Let's go.
And you're tuned to Radio OCAB here on CKLN 88.1 FM. And we have the creators of a fabulous movie called Spit, that's Squeegee Punks in Traffic, in the studio with us, Dan and Roach.
Hi, guys.
So you have to lean in
a bit.
Yeah,
I got to get a little bit closer.
Hi.
Hello.
So that was a track, I believe, we were listening to The Generators?
No, we're listening to Holy Shit, which are good friends of mine. And we arrive in Toronto in the film with those guys playing in the background. So that's why I wanted you guys to play this.
So tell us about the film. Like, what birthed the film? What was the process?
Oh, well, I was finishing a film called The Street, which is a film with homeless people that I made back a few years ago. I spent 6 years filming these guys in the Guy Metro of Montreal. And just about at the time of its completion, I started to notice squeegee punks showing up in the east end of Montreal, street kids. And so I thought this would be a logical film to start to make. So I went out to explore it. And gradually I met Roach. And then we gave Roach the Roach Cam, which is his own camera. And then he went to work.
That's what happened. We went to Civil Disobedience. And we started to work right away. And that was it. Got bit out of jail, got under the camera, and I was on the road filming the life.
There's obviously a lot more behind just, hanging around the metros. I mean, I remember when this movie, not necessarily when the movie was made, but probably when you guys were starting the process of starting the movie, there was, in Toronto, a similar process unfolded as in Montreal, where all of a sudden, squeegee kids started showing up everywhere, and all of a sudden there was a really strong backlash against them in the media.
It was
media.
A war that was created, by the mass media and by the government and municipal, like Mel Lastman there in Toronto. They just decided to create a big war over us for I don't know what reason, because we're just trying to survive, you know. We're not. I don't believe myself I was doing any crime by squeegeeing, but I mean those guys believed it, and we were. Just like they create all these big police force, target policing, and put a lot of money in there, actually. And I think it's really pathetic that a government is putting its priority on squeegee kid and homelessness, you know, when education and health is so important, you know.
Yeah. I guess one thing, right before you guys came in, we were talking about Ernie Eves in Toronto here. He just announced the new platform that the Tory government here is going to run for re-election on. And one of the things that he wants to do is to bring in what he calls them care teams, but what they actually be, or what they are described as being, is groups of people who would be empowered, have the power to go around the city of Toronto and remove people from the streets by force if necessary. Basically, snatch squads that could move around, and if someone didn't want to go to a shelter, didn't want to go wherever it was that the authorities wanted them to go, they could be forced to go there. So I guess why I'm bringing that up is, you know, there was this big backlash against the squeegee kids. And, you know, to some extent, I mean, the culture's still there. There's still squeegee kids around. But to a large extent, the war. Spit is a document of the fight back against the war on squeegee kids. But to some extent, that type of culture was destroyed to some extent. Or the authorities fought pretty hard against it. But that type of fight is still going on. Do you want to talk about?
I wouldn't say they were destroyed. They're just hiding now, you know. Yeah. When you have laws that gives the tool, the power to the police that they can, with the first offense, they can give you a $500 fine with the Safe Street Act. And on the second offense, it's $1,000 and or 6 months of jail. I mean, they're just hiding. And I mean, the government created other problems. I mean, what they're doing now, selling drugs for bikers, girls are doing prostitution for pimps. You know, because when you hide in black corners, who find you? Bikers, pushers, drug dealers, pimps, those people that are also hiding from the same thing that you are, but you're a little weak because, well, I was addicted on drugs and everything. I got recruited by bikers to sell drugs for them, you know? And that's the reality of life. The politicians are just creating other real criminal problems by just criminalizing squeegee kids and homelessness and people that are trying to survive. You know, they're forcing them to hide and go in the hands of those people that are hiding at the same place, you know?
I just wanted to remind listeners at the moment that you can call in We got the phone line open at 416-595-1655 if you've got any questions for Dan or Roach.
Is there an election? There's an election coming up pretty soon in Ontario?
Yeah, that's true.
Because I don't know about Ontario, but Toronto citizenry have to do something about the kind of politics that are going on in the city. I mean, we didn't come here really because we were interested in Toronto. We were just kind of amazed at what was going on, and we were in Montreal, where, I mean, everywhere squeegee kids are, you know, cornered and attacked. They don't want squeegee kids around, but nowhere were they treated like they were here in Toronto. And this whole it's like an evil, inhumane process going on in the politics of the, you know, supposedly the jewel crown city of Canada. And I don't know. It's got to do something about it.
Yeah, there's going to be an election this year, both provincially for Ontario and also for city council in Toronto. And Daniel, I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to ask you guys, especially Roach, I guess, because you know, the movie moves between Montreal and Toronto, and you moved between the two cities. It's interesting to me, from people I know in Montreal, and from living in Montreal myself, that although there's different provincial governments, although there's different, you know, city council, and the federal government doesn't have a lot to do with these type of policies. Most of these policies are coming from the city, coming from the province. But still, there's like an incredible similarity between Montreal and Toronto as far as their attitudes towards this. I just wonder if you could say a few words about the parallels, differences between Montreal and Toronto that you've seen.
Well, I would say one thing. Like, I mean, I'm not from Toronto. I've been here, but I mean, I cannot really talk about the situation here right now. But in Montreal, we filed back. We went to the city, all a bunch of squeegee kids with POPS, which is Dans la Rue, which is a day center for street kids in Montreal. And we went there. Our tickets, our fines were $136 a piece. And we went to fight that, saying, oh, you want us to pay this, and we're just going to end up in jail and blah, blah, blah. So I guess, well, we are still fine, but not $136 a piece, $27 now. So, I mean, that's a big thing we want. It's a big step. But, I mean, we were trying to get permit, too, and everything. But now the cops are more tolerant, I would say. I mean, they just wave you. Okay, you just go. They don't fine you no more like they did. And we had a thunderstorm of tickets going on us, you know. And they cleaned the street with that, because when you don't pay your tickets, well, you get on warrant, and warrant is jail. So they just put you in jail. But I mean, I guess the tolerance level in Montreal has risen up a little. Not saying that they are great now and whatever, you know, we're still targeted and everything. But I mean, but what I see here in Toronto, because I've been here, and that's for a fact, I know those guys are riding, man. You don't see them on the street. They're you know, they're not visible like they used to be. And I mean, that's sad. I mean, like I said, who's going to find them if they're riding, you know?
It seems to me at some point in this kind of a discussion that there's just basic human rights, basic, you know, the Charter of Human Rights and stuff like this is actually being, what's the word, like the authorities are breaking the Charter of Rights. When you talk about like these snatch squads taking people who aren't breaking the law or any civil law that's actually properly passed. And I think that there needs to be some OCAP is like really important in this province, because it it's really fighting back, and it's fighting back very verbally and very loud and very vocally and very like on the street, in your face, not some kind of polite dialogue, I would say. I mean, I'm not from Ontario right now, but I was raised in Ontario. And either is the other side. It's not like some polite civil discourse that the democracy or the society is changing. No, it's like some thuggery going on. And they're like really, you know, when you say something like snatch squads, that sounds like Pinochet or something. And it's happening, you know, like, and they're like seriously discussing this stuff on the media and in policy with educated people. And so universities and academics, a lot of people have to get involved in this argument, because when you take away the rights of young people to be colorful, flavorful, different, when you deny a rites of passage in a society, you're really killing the health of your society. You're killing your culture. And that's what they did with these young, they were punks, you know, punk meaning like punk rockers and anarchists. That was the way they dressed. That was the style. You know, and then above that, being homeless and street, they panhandle or they squeegee and stuff. And they just, like, take that whole element of culture away and put these kids in hiding, force them to change, force them to be something else, force them to be unnatural. And they think that, well, I don't know if they can think this, but it's obvious that there will be a backlash of anger to these kinds of things that, you know, it's sick.
One thing, I think you guys both know Colin.
Yeah,
Colin was telling me just last week, it just brings this to mind, what you guys are saying, that in what he does, he spends a lot of time seeking out people who are in hiding or who are hiding. And he's talking about the last few weeks he's been going through, always one step behind. He's always one step too late, one step behind the police force, because he's been going underneath the gardener. And he always gets there one day too late. You can see where the squats used to be, and you can see where they got bulldozed out, where people got chased out while they're sleeping right under the gardener.
It happened not long ago, actually. If you go under the gardener and just take a walk, you'll see there's pink letters just posted on the poles there saying, please pick up your goods, and if you need how is it written? If you need housing assistance, please call this hotline number. It's like, those guys are living under a bridge, for Christ's sake. You know, it's like, I mean, they just bulldoze everything. My friend Chris was living under the gardener, and now his, all his stuff were taken away from him, and his sleeping bag taken away. And he built some walls and built himself a little kitchen. Everything that was all bulldozed out like 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's sad, man. I mean, how can people do this? And in the Rooster, when they blow up the Rooster, I mean, there's 12 people that went missing. And, I mean, they didn't even know, they didn't even look inside the Rooster if they were there. And those guys, as far as other friends of the street know, they're not in the States. They're not in Canada where they are. And they were squatting at the Rooster. So who knows? Maybe they're under the pile of dump right there, you know? It's like they just do those stupid things where, I mean, those guys have nothing in their life. And you're taking that small thing they were able to accumulate in their life, you're just taking it away from them and just, like, not even thinking of the consequences that they are making. I mean, the cops and everything, you know? They're not even thinking about what can happen after. So, I mean,
we got about 5 minutes left in the show, and so if you want to call in, don't hesitate. 595-1655 if you got a question for either Dan or Roach.
Yeah, I just wanted to... Dan, I really agree with what you were saying about the aspect of it being a war and an impolite war. But what strikes me is that walking around the suburbs of Toronto, so much of this is hidden. I mean, I think probably people have no idea. I think there's probably a lot of people listening to the show right now who are shocked at the fact that people are sleeping underneath the Gardner Expressway and being bulldozed out by the police. This is just not something that gets talked about. Another thing, on this radio show, this is, you know, the OCAP weekly radio show, we always try to talk a little bit about the work of the organization that doesn't really get out there in the media. And one of those things is, you know, since the Safe Streets Act came in Ontario, which is a piece of legislation from the Harris government, which basically gives the police power to ticket people for all kinds of, just unbelievable stuff. You know, it basically makes it a crime to be doing anything out in the open, unless you're in the suburbs.
Sit on the sidewalk in Toronto.
Yeah, you can't do anything. You can't sit in a park. You can't sit on the sidewalk. But since the Safe Street Act has come in, you know, people probably don't realize this in the province of Ontario, but hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tickets are written. I mean, OCAP fights hundreds of tickets every month, and we don't even touch, a small portion of the number of tickets that are written on people. I've seen people on University Avenue sitting, and, you know, they're sitting on a corner near a subway station and an ATM. So there's three. They get three tickets that are over $100 each. They get tickets for being on a corner, being at an ATM, and being at a subway stop. All they're doing is, you know...
This is exaggerating, you know? This is harassment, totally. And I mean, we have to live, as street kids, we have to live with this every day of our lives. I mean, we've been judged by the cops. And I've been in Montreal, I've been taken in alleys and beaten up, I mean, just for who I was and the way I look, you know? And so I think that's pathetic. I mean, That's total harassment. I just get angry just talking about this because I lived it and everything, and I just, like, I can't control myself sometimes right now. The adrenaline is just pumping up, but I mean, when I see this thing and I hear this thing, I mean, just, it just gives me the urge to just grab my camera again and just go and just film this again and be angry and document all this, you know? And it's...
Hello?
We got a call.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, I have a question.
Go for it.
I'd like to support this Squeegee kid. So if I drive my car around, you know, I noticed how they've disappeared as well. So I think, you know, how can I make my car, you know, Squeegee friendly? Do I put a sticker or something, you know, to find them in hiding, to show my support?
Well, there was some sticker that were handed out before that were invented by a cop, actually, saying squeegee friendly or not, and you just switch it with there was a sign no please or yes please. But I mean, if you want to support Squeegee Kids or whatever, and
make my car dirty.
The tricky thing is, sir, is that you'll encourage them to squeegee, and you'll give them money, and then they'll get ticketed for like $100 after you drive away. So it's, you know, the answer is difficult that way. But I would basically say that every young street kid is a squeegee kid. And if they're panhandling or sitting in the park or whatever, and you say something nice, or if you have some loose change for them, or, you know, you ask them about their dog or something, that's really cool. And they'll really like that. And you'll make some new friends. And that's probably the most important thing to do. But, yeah, a dirty car would probably...
Don't let them clean my car.
All right, so I think we're running out of time, but I want to make sure I give you guys a chance to do some shameless plugs. I think you guys are both got other projects on the go. I understand there's a Roach Cam online, all this. So why don't you guys tell us, start off, how people can check out Squeegee Punks in Traffic in Toronto, and then you can talk about some other stuff.
Well, the movie Spit, Squeegee Punks in Traffic, opened today at the Carlton Cinema. And it's an open run, so if we can get people to show up in the next few days, it'll keep being extended. The times are like 1:30, 3:40, 7:30, and 9:20. And there's a website, www.spit.ca, where you can speak in the forums, and Roach and I and Colin are always on there. And I'll let Roach tell you about what he's doing now.
And yes, and I'm working, like you said, there's other project going on. Yes, I'm working. I just did a... In 2001, I shot a journey across Canada, starting at the FTAA in Quebec City and going to the Okanagan Valley in BC to pick fruits. I mean, that's a phenomenon in Quebec. A lot of Quebecers just go in BC and pick fruits. We're talking about 1,500 kids every summer. So, I mean, so I decided to do the road trip and just leave with my friend Smash. And I'm in the post-production right now editing. And Daniel is helping me to... take it out with I Still Film. So yeah, that's what I'm doing now.
Right on. We got to wrap up the show right now. I want to thank both of you for coming in.
Can you play another song from the, or do you have time?
Yeah, we're gonna cut out with the Deadly Pale, 58 seconds,
yeah,
that's cool.
Right on.
And I wish you guys all the best with the movie and everything.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
So you guys enjoy Deadly Pale. You're a great band.
Cool. So stay tuned, everybody, for Radio Sex to Soul, and tune in next week for Radio OCAP. We'll see you later.